Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Hyperslot Happy Hour Show with your good lifelong buddies, Rufus and Zigzag. Rufus being me, Cliff, Zigzag being Dom, who I think is right here on the other line. Hello?
Rufus!
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. That's good, because I'm using my my laptop mic this time and not my really expensive studio mic that apparently sucks.
I don't think it necessarily sucks. It's just not right for Blog Talk Radio, Rufus.
That's true. Actually, it's not right for Skype. I think Blog Talk Radio is just fine, and I'm only saying that because they're probably listening to us.
Obviously. How are you going, Rufus?
What's that?
How's your week going thus far?
So far, so good. How about you?
You know, it's only Tuesday, so there's plenty of things that could still go wrong this week. That's how I'm going to look at it.
Excellent. Always the optimist, just like me.
Obviously. Always the optimist.
Well, I told all of my Facebook friends about the show, and I tweeted it, which I think is how the kids say it. So we should have tons of callers today.
All right. Call in, folks. If you listen, please call in. Cliff's got the number for you.
It's 646.
I guess I can see it online.
478-0616. So,
is anybody calling yet?
Yeah, the board's lighting up, but I'd rather talk about Hyperslot. So I drummed up a few ideas for the show. I don't know if they ring your bell at all, but there is one thing that I definitely want to talk about that I didn't mention earlier, and that is today I went jogging for the first time in, like, weeks. Because I you recently started going to the gym, right? That's a recent thing, huh?
I did, and now I'm doing probably up to about 4 or 5 miles a day on the treadmill.
Are you serious? Really? Like running or walking?
Yeah. What I do is I usually walk a quarter of a mile, then run a half mile, then walk a quarter of a mile.
Okay, cool. That's
they call that circuit training, Rufus.
Really? Ooh. That sounds way better than what I was calling it. That's kind of what I do. Pain in the ass. I walk a bit and then I run a bit. But anyway, I found out that like my cycle tends to be I'll hit it really hard for like 3 months. Like every day I'll run and I'll lift weights and then I hit a wall and I just don't do shit for 2 weeks. And I'm fine with that because I'm not like trying to, you know, win a race or become some kind of big meathead. I'm just trying to burn some calories. So I'm cool with taking a couple of weeks off. But today was my first day back on it after a two-week break. And, dude, it was just so nightmarishly horrible. I mean, my circuit's like 2 miles, and I do the walk-run, but it was so goddamn hot, man. It was like 90 degrees, which is... I'm sure you remember how hot Texas gets. That's like 12 degrees lower than how it's going to be. But when you're out there running on the asphalt and there's no clouds and no wind and the sun, this is like 3 p.m, so the sun was like not low enough to cast any real shadows that I could kind of hide behind, even in the neighborhood, like with big houses and stuff. It was fucking, it was miserable. But I had two interesting things came out of the run. One is disgusting, and one is a brilliant idea that I'm going to pitch for Hypersloth Industries. The disgusting one is that it was so freaking hot that, like, all the zits on my back acne, they just boiled.
They all popped at once?
They just spontaneously burst, right?
I think they call that back pain.
Yeah, okay, so all the pustules on my back knee just heated up and ruptured at the same time. And that sucked because I had to run even faster because the guy behind me was really ticked about being bathed in back knee pus.
I thought maybe he was trying to dip toast into it.
No, this guy doesn't normally jog with toast in hand, but... I might start doing that now that I know that my back knee can explode on a whim. But,
I'm glad you waited until the coolest part of the day to jog. Seems like a great idea.
Oh, yeah, 3 a.m. in Texas in June. That's the best time. But, okay, so the invention that came out of this, though, you're going to like this. This is a gold mine. Is I was slathered in sunblock. This is prior to being slathered in back knee pus, but I was slathered in sunblock, so I was well protected against harmful UV rays. But I was just totally sweating my ass off because it was so freaking hot, and it was soaking my shirt and my shorts and getting in my eyes. And, you know, luckily the sunblock is like waterproof, so even though I'm sweating, it's not going to wash off. But I thought, what a pain in the ass anyway. Why don't we mix sunblock with antiperspirant? And then that way you'll be totally blocked from the sun and you won't sweat at all when you're jogging in 90-degree heat. You'll keep all that precious liquid inside of you. I'm sure that's safe.
Sounds healthy. Definitely sounds like something very safe, obviously. Just add a little gold paint to it, you'll probably be good to go.
Can you imagine? I would love to go jogging down my neighborhood covered in gold paint.
They probably would just think you're on your way to Burning Man.
Yes, or anywhere in Austin.
Follow me to Burning Man.
Yeah, I'm leaving a trail of paint and back knee pus.
And sweat.
And sweat. Well, no, I'm not sweating.
What I didn't tell you about my circuit was it's actually, I run a quarter of a mile, or I walk a quarter mile to the Quickie Mart, and I get a 24-ounce, and I slam
yes.
it, and then it's a half a mile. It's a half a mile to the next Quickie Mart, so I run to try to get that buzz going, and then I get another one and walk another quarter mile. So basically, I just do a loop.
So you should ask the Quickie Mart for, like, a sponsorship that should endorse you.
I started mixing my beer with Mountain Dew.
Is that right? I started mixing mine with sleeping pills. No, of course. Right.
No, that's, so what mixing... that's what I mix my beer with for sure.
So you've got the Miller Lite with the Diet Mountain Dew that you're drinking while you're running.
Right, exactly. And I do a five-hour energy shot, too.
So I think between the two of us, maybe we should collaborate and put out like a P90X kind of DVD.
Hey, you know what? I like your idea. You never hear about that guy. He was like some famous jogger. This is like 10 or 15 years ago. And he was, you know, he's the epitome of health and jogged like 20 miles a day or whatever. And he died at like 33 or something.
Yeah, I don't remember who that is or what his name is, but I think George Carlin mentioned him in a bit. No, it was Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks did.
I love Bill Hicks. He was a comedy genius. For those people that haven't heard of Bill Hicks, I suggest that you get out there and buy some of his old stuff. I think he died in, what, 95 or 96?
Yeah, somewhere in the early mid-90s.
Genius.
Absolutely.
Remind me a lot of your witticisms.
That's untrue. I'm nowhere near Bill Hicks by any means.
Now, earlier you had said something about UFOs, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, well,
I
don't...
I had a thought. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say, I don't really have anything specific to say about them, but I'm kind of a UFO geek, and I'm always getting distracted on YouTube by UFO stuff and paranormal research and what have you. So,
Here's
yeah, just... Threw that out there. I've got nothing to say about it.
my thoughts on UFOs and aliens basically are that aliens invented McDonald's, TV, and beer. And let me tell you why.
So they can Okay, let's hear it.
Because I just have a feeling that someday they're going to come back just to feed on us. So basically, they're trying to plump us up, get us as fat and lazy as they can. And that's why they come back every once in a while. It's kind of like checking a cake or checking something that you're cooking. They just kind of stop in and say, are they fat? Are they fat enough and lazy enough yet? You know, so we're nice and tender. And then as soon as I think that the body mass index reaches like 40 for most of they're going to eat America first. And more than
of course.
Probably Indiana or Michigan first would be my guess. And I'm just saying that from seeing what's going on at the Y. But
that's right.
My take on what the aliens have just planted us here is like a crop so they can come back and feed on us eventually.
So these recent visits are them just kind of peeking into the oven to see how we're doing.
Exactly, like sticking the thermometer. I mean, obviously you've seen the show V.
Oh, yes.
Remember that show?
Oh, yes. Yeah, very prophetic.
Well, I mean, I think of it as like kind of like Star Trek was to Skype or cell phones. Maybe they are prophetic that they kind of knew that the lizard people will be coming back to feed on us.
Interesting. Interesting theory.
That was just my two cents on that. That's my two cents on UFOs and aliens.
I have to say that I have not come across that theory anywhere, which means that it must be the best theory, because good theories always get covered up by the government.
Yes, the government has been trying to shut me down. I'm actually speaking from my underground bunker right now.
I was going to say, you should expect a knock on your door anytime.
I'm deep, deep underground in my missile silo.
But surely you have your McDonald's and your Diet Mountain Dew and light beer.
Yes, of course. I have a keg, a 2-liter, and a 20-piece McNugget.
That should last you
for
a while.
I'm good. I'm good
Excellent.
For a while. I'm good for at least 2 or 3 more hours.
Yeah, and then it's time to jog again to the cool humor.
Exactly, and pick up a 2-liter. So, what else is going up there down there in Texas? I remember I was thinking the other day about when I lived in Texas with you, actually. And remember we used to watch a lot of Simpsons episodes, and we used to – our friend Joe Bannister – used to tape them quite a bit. I don't know if you remember that. We used to have a lot of videos on tape.
Yeah, was that Joe? Actually, I thought it was you who videotaped and, like, cataloged them.
No, that was not me. That was Joe. But I did have a videotape, and I watched it. I'm just thinking about this today. I mean, obviously, I haven't watched a videotape in, like, 10 years, like the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
But I remember watching it one night. And I remember The Simpsons was on like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night there. And they were showing the temperature in the corner of the screen, and it was actually 111 degrees out at midnight in Texas.
Here? Really?
Yes, yes, in Austin. I'll never forget that. I remember seeing that and going, holy cow, it was hot down there. Remember for a while there, Rufus, we didn't have air conditioning over at Roehampton.
Are you serious? I don't remember that. I can't believe I don't, because that sounds god-awful.
It was. It was horrible. Actually, it might have been before you moved into Roehampton, but it was horrible.
Oh,
it was very
okay,
horrible.
Yeah. I'm sure that would stick with me. Wow, 111 degrees.
Too lazy to call the landlord because we were too busy smoking pot all day and drinking beer, and we're like, yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. It'll probably be cooler later.
Yeah, well, busy is a good word for that. It always gets cooler eventually, right?
Got cooler around October.
Yeah. So you only had to wait a few months, but that's all right.
Exactly. I waited it out for a few months. Actually, it took my friend coming to visit, and they came from Indiana, And I was like, no big deal. And they were basically sweating to death and throwing up in the middle of the night because it was so hot. I'm like, wow, I really should do something about that.
Oh, really? That's funny. I had a different expectation for that story. I thought you were going to say that because they were coming, you said, oh, well, I better get it fixed because I'm going to have visitors. But you waited till they got there and they became ill.
And then I waited for them to leave, and then I got it fixed.
Okay, so they were like the canary in the coal mine, I guess. You're like, okay, this is
right.
Obviously really bad.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that was brutal for those people. I should get this fixed. This can't be healthy.
That's right. I don't want that to happen to me.
No, exactly. I thought I had been throwing up from just drinking too much. Actually, I was just throwing up because it was hot out, so that was kind of a relief.
You mistook heat stroke for just boozing. The relief. Wow, that reminded me before I totally got it wrong that I'm going to ask you a question. It's obviously contrived so that we can be funny. just kidding. Well, it reminds me, like, I don't want to say that our house is a wreck. It's not, but like our kid makes a mess, the dogs make a mess,
right?
And we clean it up enough to get by, to make our way from certain doorways to other doorways, and that's about it. Until we know that somebody's coming over, and then it's just like spring cleaning in 20 minutes. So I thought that's what you were getting at, is that, oh my God, people are coming over, I better fix the AC. I think it's much funnier that they got there, became violently ill, and then that was your barometer.
I can sympathize with what you're saying about just cleaning a path from point A to point B. Because if you open any drawer in my house, there's like papers and pens and pencils and everything that, like, you're like, oh yeah, oh, my mom's coming over, we better clean up. So we just take everything and like stash it, like in a drawer or in the top of the closet. And you're like, oh wow, everything's clean. And then one day you're looking for something like birth certificate or whatever, and it's been thrown out because just at one point you're like, better clean up these stacks. Oh, they're just garbage papers. Let's just throw them out. And
that's right.
It's just, obviously there's always something important in a stack that you just decide to throw out on a whim. We're like, oh, there can't be anything important in there. It's a magazine article, you know, all kinds of crap. Usually the bills get thrown out.
Yeah, don't shred them. Leave all your information on there. Now, I'm pretty sure that I've, like, upturned drawers into a garbage bag and threw them in the dump that had, like, actual Social Security cards and credit cards in them. And I think even a marriage certificate. Jesus.
Well, I look outside at the guys picking up our trash, like, they seem like decent guys. They're probably not going to go through the bags.
No, yeah.
And then the funny thing is, I saw one of them like driving a Lexus at the gas station the other day. I'm like, let's make a lot of money.
Is that right? Did the license plate, was it like THXDOM?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it said. And the funny thing is, I checked my credit report and I had actually purchased two Lexuses in a small house in Florida.
Oh, nice. And one of the Lexuses was a Lexus garbage truck, right?
And the good news, even better than that, they actually have been keeping up on the payments, so my credit is better than it's ever been. Better than I could keep it.
Oh, okay. Well, hang on. I'm going to go throw my credit cards in the trash right now.
There you go. Before you know it, you'll be platinum credit rating.
So next time, when I leave in the morning next Monday, when the garbage guys are here, I'm just going to flag them down and say, hey, take this Visa and MasterCard and do me a favor.
Speaking
you
of
look far
stuff
more responsible.
On the floor and kids and whatnot, I've been finding a lot of stuff that I wish my daughter would throw out, you know, like old stuff that she doesn't play with anymore, and DVDs that are all scratched up and she'll put in, and it'll, like, skip for 2 hours, and she'll, like, get mad at me, like I'm forcing it to skip or something because she scrubbed it on the ground or, you know, took sand across the back of it.
Right.
And she, every time I go to throw something out, it's like she has an emotional attachment to, like, any piece of paper or anything. And she, like, gives me these big, sad, pouty eyes, like, don't throw it out, Dad. And I'm like, okay, we'll just put it in the drawer. It'll be fine.
Yeah, my kid's done that quite a few times. I've punished him severely, and it still has not helped. Even with his jaw wired shut, he still cries, like, loudly.
Yeah. Not really a cry like that, though. It's more like a whimper.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my wife find ourselves, like, throwing stuff out after midnight. We're like, okay, is the coast clear?
It's like the anti-Santa Claus.
Yeah, exactly. We have, like, mountains and mountains of stuff that we don't want to throw out. But we know it's broken, so we take it to Goodwill. And we're like, ah, someone can use it. This is good stuff.
Poor people don't need working stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, I saw this show on TV where this kid was just playing with a stick. And I'm like, this is better than a stick. Some kid can play with
this. Then I have a tree full of sticks. We could get rich.
There you see, and you know what? All it does is build kids' imaginations, really. We could probably save this country single-handedly by selling $50 or $60 sticks to parents.
That's true. I think we should – let's make an iPhone app that is a stick, the stick app.
Stick Finder.
Stick Finder. It helps you find a stick. Wow.
Right. And you know what? It'll have like – different sizes of sticks, different shapes of sticks, you know, how to clean the leaves off a stick, how to take the bark off a stick, how to sharpen a stick to hold up a liquor store.
It's not a bad idea, actually, and you could use the GPS positioning to find sticks around you.
You know, or other people could probably tweet pictures of their stick. We could have, like, Rate Your Stick app.
Oh, wow. RateYourStick.com. Upload pictures of your sticks and what you've done to them based on the instructions within the app.
Well, we'd have to have two categories. We'd have to have, like, natural sticks, like stock sticks, and then modified sticks.
So what, the natural sticks would just be like, I found this stick. I didn't touch it. You know, here's the stick that I found. And the other one would be like, here's one that I carved up and cleaned up.
I think you're onto something. People could bejewel their sticks or paint them. You know, I mean, think about it. There's all kinds of stuff you could do with a stick.
Think about it. I don't think I can stop thinking about it, Zigzag.
I like the way this is headed. I really think we're onto something here. So look for it, people.
Me too.
Stick app coming to the App Store soon.
So in this show.
You can't beat it with a stick.
Oh, my God. Okay, so just from this show, we have sunblock that keeps you from sweating, and we have the stick app that helps you find and maximize the usage of sticks.
You think we could take that stick app thing and the sunblock to Shark Tank?
I think we could. I think we could dominate Shark Tank. I think if we put it on Indiegogo, we could probably make about $25,000 in a week.
Maybe, you know what we probably need to do is get that, what's that, that place where they give you money to come up, like people donate money to you to come so you can, like, get your idea out there?
That's it, Indiegogo, and I think there's another one, Kickstarter or something.
Kickstarter. So anybody wants to give up a little bit of money for the stick app or the, I don't know, what would you call the SPF anti-deodorant or antiperspirant app? Or not app, but product.
What's funny is that, like, I work with a guy – I mean, we share an office. I don't work with him, really. But He owns an app marketing company, and that's what he does, is markets apps. And he's constantly, like, having me look at the apps that his clients are trying to market, and some of them are far, far less brilliant than a stick app. And people are really, really trying to... They're like, yeah, I spent $50,000 making this app, and I mortgaged my house, you know, make it happen for me. And it's, you know, an app that does some stupid, completely ridiculous thing that nobody gives a shit about.
No,
so, in other words, yeah.
Sort of like.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, I only need to sell, like, 5 million of them to get my money back.
Yeah,
or
you invest $50,000
and I'm gonna give it away for free.
Yeah, I could really kind of go off on a little rant on this. It wouldn't be funny or entertaining at all. But yeah, you know, people just siphon a shitload of money.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, people just siphon a shitload of money into an app that they think is the next best thing, and usually it's a clone of Facebook or Twitter, which is king of the mountain, right? So they funnel this shitload of money into making this app, and then they think either I'm going to sell, you know, a million billion copies of it at $2.99 a pop, and or I'm just going to have ads on it and make my investment back. And I'm not kidding whenever I say people spend upwards of $50,000 on making an app, and not even a very good app. And I'm glad I was in the business with this guy, and I bailed, and he's still suffering through it. And oh my God, he just, because he sits next to me, he's like, you know, he'll break out his iPad. And he's like, look, I got this new client with this app, and it's just, I'm at a loss for words. Some of these people are so delusional, and it's not that they're just delusional. I mean, I kind of feel for them. They're just misinformed. They think, wow, Twitter's big. I'm going to make something that's exactly like Twitter and put ads on it. And it's just not going to work. It's like McDonald's is cool, so I'm going to put a burger stand next to it. You can't do that.
Because I'll just make a better hamburger right out of the gate.
Right, and nobody can make a better hamburger than McDonald's.
You can make a better hamburger, you just can't get the kind of exposure that McDonald's does. I mean, when McDonald's started, they obviously made a killer hamburger. Now they don't really care about hamburgers, they care about convenience.
Exactly. And there's so much noise and clutter to cut through. I mean, there's like 100,000 apps uploaded every day to iTunes, and you think your app that is basically a clone of something else is going to take off? I mean... Anyway,
why are you such a dream squasher?
I'm not a dream squasher.
Dream squasher.
I'm a realist. This is what I tell my 4-year-old.
You are a realist. I'm just kidding.
I am a realist.
You know,
my 4-year-old's like,
realist,
I was good all day at school. Can I have an ice cream float? I'm like, no, you cannot. You have to be good all year. And then at the end of the year, Santa will bring you one scoop of ice cream and a Diet Coke. But
thanks,
that's love.
Dad.
You know, I love it.
That's tough love. Tough love.
It is tough love, but that's the best kind of love. I mean, unless it's physical.
The good news is...
Physical tough love is no fun at all.
He can drink that ice cream float while his jaw is wired shut.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah. I've got to blend it up and then squirt it into his mouth with a straw. I can't keep it going. That's just
Do you remember that guy that I worked with at that pizza place, Stan Johnson? He played the bass as well.
Yes, and he was drunk driving his bicycle.
Yes, and broke his jaw in like 9 places.
That's amazing. How does that happen?
And obviously was so delusional and still drunk and on painkillers or whatever and tried to call Roehampton at 8 o'clock in the morning for someone to come pick him up.
Really? I didn't know that.
First of all, of course you didn't, because no one answered the phone ever at Roehampton, basically. And
that's true.
Definitely not from the hospital, and definitely not at 9 o'clock in the morning.
True. That is true.
So, and he couldn't leave a message because his jaw was broken, and he couldn't talk.
Oh, my God. I do remember the guy. I don't remember that, but I remember the story. I remember him coming over. I think I heard about it because he came over, and at that point his jaw was wired shut. And then I heard the story, like, from obviously not from him, but from you. And, wow.
Yeah, he drank, like, 15 Anchor Steam pints, decided to ride his bike somewhere, and went head first over the handlebars and apparently landed square in his jaw.
Jesus, God.
Yeah, he was a strange guy anyways.
Yeah. I mean, I've never ridden a bike drunk, but when I was a kid, I had a bike and I did some pretty outrageous, daring things on it. I never broke my jaw. I still am baffled by how you drink so much that you break your fucking jaw on a bike. But I'm glad you did because we're talking about it now.
So obviously, it happens. That's why they invented cabs.
Right.
I do remember once when I was a kid, I was about 13, you know, and you couldn't drive or anything, so you had to ride your bike everywhere. And I got this 10-speed, and me and my buddy were driving downtown here in Elkhart, where I live now. And my front tire went right down like a sewer grate, like fell off the face of the earth. So the bike goes down to the forks. I ass end up and literally flip over the freaking handlebars. And, of course, luckily for me, guess who was driving by and saw the whole thing?
Who?
My mom. My mom saw the whole thing. Was all worried about me driving my bike around town after that.
Of course.
She bought a helmet that I threw in the woods when I left the neighborhood. That's how smart I am.
That's back when helmets were, like, ridiculously uncool.
Yeah, exactly. There was no, my helmet did not have, like, a leopard skin. It was like a bell helmet with no face mask. Or it's like a helmet you'd ride in a mini bike in the 1970s.
That's what I was going to ask. I was like, did they even back then have, like, what we call a bicycle helmet now? Probably not. It's like a German war helmet that you found at Goodwill or something. No.
It had a spike sticking out of the top.
Nice.
It said Sergeant Schultz.
Wow. Well, I got no bike story, but I got a couple of motorcycle stories. It's cool. I'm thinking about getting a motorcycle, or at least a motorcycle license. And but my only two experiences on motorcycles is when I was a teenager in high school, a buddy of mine, we lived out in the country, and a buddy of mine was just like a mile walk down a dirt road to his house. And he had a dirt bike, which was cool. And he was like, hey, you want to learn how to ride this dirt bike? And I was like, fuck yeah, man, teach me how to ride this dirt bike. And he said, okay, you get on it, and then you twist the handle. And I got on it, and I twist the handle, and I ended up, like, upside down about 10 feet away with a motorcycle, like, digging into my leg. I just immediately, like, shot off and laid it over and skidded. And I was like, yeah, that's not that cool. And then, I remember
like
we were...
a muffler on your leg gives you respect.
Oh, yeah. I got some street cred that day, or dirt road cred. And then I don't know if it was before some what?
Some scab cred.
Yeah. Well, I got a lot of cred, and it hurt like shit. All that cred. And at one point, me and that dude decided to build a tree house at my house, but all the lumber was at his house. So we tied a red wagon up to this dirt bike, and we were transporting wood back and forth, except that I had to sit in the wagon and hold the wood so it wouldn't fall out, which meant like his tailpipe was like right in my fucking face, and the smoke was just billowing in my face the whole time. And I think we probably made like 40 trips of lumber, and I swear to God, we got maybe two by fours nailed up in that tree.
You know, that's funny that you say that, because I actually have a four-wheeler now. And, you know, we've got a tractor for our yard, and I thought it'd be the coolest thing. You know, my daughter likes to ride on the four-wheeler with me, but it's not really that safe. So I was like, yeah, we got this wagon for the tractor, right, to put sticks and stumps and crap like that in. So I'm like, I'll hook it up behind the four-wheeler, and she can sit in it, and I'll drive around the yard. You know, it'll be all fun and stuff. So I do that, and she's sitting in it, and we're kind of going down the side yard here, and my wife is, like, looking out the window, and she comes outside, and I'm like, oh, you know, she's going to say, oh, it looks like she's having a great time or whatever. And my wife says to me, you realize that the muffler is blowing right in our daughter's face.
Tough love.
And I'm like, no, I did not realize that.
Oh, yeah, she assumed that you knew it. You're sitting right here where the muffler is. Kids love exhaust.
They do. I really thought they did.
It's a proven fact.
Every kid
loves
exhaust.
I think
her
pediatrician was like, make sure he gets some exhaust.
Sticks and exhaust are the two things that kids love. I know that.
That's true. Wow. Wow. Every kid should have a bike with a spiked helmet. What's the alternative?
Well, my daughter I would ride with my daughter in front of me on the four-wheeler, right? And she was, like, putting her feet up on what I assume was, like, a piece of plastic on the four-wheeler itself. And we ride around the yard for a little while, and she's like, okay, I want to get off or whatever. She gets off, and I look down, and her tennis shoe had been melting onto the muffler. For like 10 minutes
God.
Or something. And she was like 3 at the time, and she's 5 now, and she still tells that story to this day, how I ruined her tennis shoe by letting it melt on the muffler of the four-wheeler. She'll tell a complete stranger that story.
Well, of course, kids never forget. Never.
No, she does not, for sure. She used to tell people that I used to drink big beers. regular beers.
Right. Big beers.
I drank big beers, like, because I drank tall boys. I mean, you know why we used to drink tall boys with the hyper sloth and whatnot. And it's
sure.
That she just couldn't tell people, oh, yeah, my dad drinks beer. She'd be like, yeah, my dad drinks big beers. So I'm sure people were assuming that I'm, like, sitting around the house with a 24-ounce can or a quart of beer or a 40-ounce, like, constantly drinking big beers all day.
Right. Yeah, my little boy does something similar, and I can't say that it's unfounded, but I don't want to get into all the backstory and details, but basically every time he sees me come out of the bathroom, he says, did you spray poo-poo on the toilet? And I say, no. Not this time. And he said, are you sure? Did you clean it up? And I'm like, no, I didn't spray poo-poo on the toilet.
Oh, my God.
Look, I'm 38,
well,
you know.
I think we all imagine what the backstory to that is. And it probably starts out with the Mr. Gaddy's buffet.
Well, you know, he and I both love the Gaddy Town buffet, that's for sure. But normally the toilet spraying happens at Gaddy Town. But I'm serious. I get pissed because the incident that he's referring to happened like 2 years ago, and still every time he sees me walk out of the bathroom, you didn't spray the toilet, did you? You didn't spray poo-poo on the toilet? I'm like, Jesus, God, no. Will you let it go, man?
Let it go. Jesus, kid. Let it go already.
Yeah.
That really kind of piqued my appetite, that's for sure.
I'm sure it did. You going to go have some Gaddies now?
I think I'm going to order a Gaddies.
Well, do it. They should deliver that with toilet paper.
Yeah, and Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, that's right. Should be able to order that in a large cup.
Now, I did look into, off the subject here, I did look into that Abbey Road Studio mastering.
Yes.
I remember we've been talking about that last week. And the more I read up on it, I mean, it seemed like what they do is basically something that I might be able to do with Logic here on my computer. They're a mastering of just basically what they do is clip out everything that might be going over the threshold and stuff like that. I don't know if you did any more research on that.
No, I did very little because I wasn't paying for it.
Right. They basically run it through a program that I have here. It's a, Jesus, I can't even remember what it's called. But it's on Logic, and what it does is evens everything out so you don't get any clipping, you know, nothing gets distorted during the song. It kind of brings everything to one level, and it's called a limiter. That's right. It's called a limiter. Basically, it compresses the song so it doesn't have any real high highs or real low lows, and that's what kind of gives it that radio-friendly sound. So I was going to try that here before we go spend any money on it. But, I mean, really, maybe what we need them to do, I mean, this is just a thing, and it's a little more expensive, is have them remix the whole thing. Since we have all the tracks,
really?
Have them mix it. Because they do,
okay,
do that
that's
as well. It's a little more
I think that's probably, I didn't know they did that. That's, I would think, I don't know, I'm not a sound engineer, but I would think that that's probably more important than the mastering, because if you don't do that right, then the mastering is probably worthless.
Right, and that's actually what they, on their website, suggested, that if you don't have a good first mix, it doesn't matter, having it mastered is pointless anyways. And I'm not saying we don't have a good first mix, but might be nice to bring in a different ear and see how they mix it.
I'm open to that, for sure.
So let me check into that a little more, Rufus. But I really think it sounds good. If we can get it, I haven't checked the website lately for everybody listening out there, www.hyperslopradio.com. Check it out. Got a few tunes on there that people need to listen to. It's very important for the safety of the universe that people get to that website and check it out.
True.
We want people to be safe out there. And we want people to have fun as well. Safe fun. Safe fun. That's what we're
absolutely
all about.
Absolutely. Safe fun. That's right. That's why we wear helmets riding our bikes. I did
That's
do two
right.
things. I did two things with the music. One is for Internet Love Song. I did just do a double vocal track on it just to kind of help it out. There were some bad notes that I didn't like, so I kind of redid it, and the good notes kind of hide the bad notes. And then in Beer is Food, I got the second verse done, and what I did is I took what we remembered from the first, or the old version of the second verse, and I mixed it with a new one I wrote, and it makes a lot of sense, because I think the old one was something like Those Coppers They Don't Understand, and the first one was about going to the Quickie Mart, so it kind of has this getting pulled over while driving thing. I don't want to overanalyze it. I mean, it's, you know, it's a fun song. But I got
it
recorded. That's done. Yeah.
Yeah,
everybody
can hear it.
Okay, cool. So I'll mix that down. I'll mix down the Internet Love Song. It's almost imperceptible. It didn't really change the dynamic of it or anything. It's really only for me. But I'll mix them both down and send them your way. And then I think if – do you want to – I'm eager to put these up, like, on iTunes and CD Baby and stuff.
No,
but
too.
Do you think
that's why I wanted to hit you up with that idea of having it? Maybe, I mean, it remixed by a professional just to see. You know, I can't imagine what they could do with it. I mean, we've done a hell of a job already. Someone that's been doing this stuff for 20 or 30 years really might be able to to put this together and make us go, fucking wow, we didn't realize we were so freaking talented.
Yeah, well, I like your idea of getting an outside ear to listen to it and kind of give a point of view from that direction. So I said, let's look into that. And we got two songs that we can do it with. Can we get a price on doing two songs?
Yeah, I'll check it out and I'll email them. And I'm probably going to go with the guy with the headphones, I guess, because he looked the coolest.
Sure.
You know, obviously. The guy tweaking the knobs just to me seemed like kind of a dick. The way he was kind of tweaking that one knob, I didn't think it was very cool.
Well, so he probably works for the headphone guy.
More than likely. I think headphone guys are probably a little higher up in the food chain over there than knob tweakers.
But I would assume that if you're hearing something, you then tell the guy, okay, turn the treble down. I mean, come on.
Excellent point. Excellent point, Rufus. I agree with that 100%. But let me check into that. I'll get back with you tomorrow. But if you can, send that stuff over. Love to hear it. Always fun to hear it. I listen to it at work. I made some guys listen to it this weekend when we were golfing. They loved it. Couldn't believe that it was part of it was me. I had to show them that it was partially me. And
really?
I think that we can really make a go of it. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know. It sounds that good. I mean, that's all I can say about it. It sounds that good and that professionally done that people are like, wow, unbelievable. And brilliant, which makes it all the more fun.
Yeah, it is brilliant. It's like world-changing brilliant. Okay, so I'll mix down what I did for Beer's Food and Internet Love Song. I'm not even going to like tell you where the edits are because I don't think you'll even notice. It's pretty much for my own ego. But I'll make some announcements to you, and it'll be the parts that, well, I can't say it's the parts that sound more awesome because the whole thing is awesome. But anyway, I'll mix it down, and I'm waiting. In fact, I'm actually wanting like you to give everything a thumbs up and thumbs down, four thumbs down, before I consider these two songs done, and then move on to the next.
No, I don't think you'll be getting any thumbs down from this end, that's for sure. But, send them over, and let's get this ball rolling. To our listeners out there, check us out again, www.hyperslapradio.com, and give us a call on the radio, or you can be live on our show anytime you want. Be part of the action here on Hypersloth Radio Happy Hour with Rufus and ZigZag.
Yes, indeed. So it sounds like I think we're signing off, and we'll talk to everybody on Thursday. ZigZag, always good.
Look forward to it. Always good to talk to you, Rufus. Play us out.
I'm going to play us out with some Internet Love Song.
Little honey with a red hot phone.